This is the Upgraded Life episode 46, and in this show I'm bringing you Bogdan Rosu. Bogdan is a guy that I've been watching develop and evolve over the last couple of years. There was a one time a while back while he was offering some free coaching for anybody that wanted to take him up on that, and I did that. So I've actually spent about an hour with him on the phone receiving some excellent coaching from the man. So in our time together, he is going to share his 7 principles of being a business owner. And the other thing that he's going to talk about is why helping business owners do what they do and do it well is really important to his life. It comes out of his own life story growing up in a home where his parents were business owners. So let's buckle in and go on a ride with me and Bogdan. Hello, thanks for tuning in to the Upgraded Life podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Sotelo. The Upgraded Life is my personal project where I help people realize and reach their potential. I've been a professional helper for 20 years. Here's what I'm convinced of. The life that you have right now and the life that you want tomorrow is a product of your personal mindset, mission, and movement. Each episode of the Upgraded Life podcast is going to give you something that you can do as soon as the episode is over to upgrade your personal mindset. Your mindset informs your mission. Your mission tells you how to move every single day. And together, that is the Upgraded Life. All right, you have another episode of the Upgraded Life podcast. I'm your host, as always, Dr. Nick Sotelo. Today, I have a special guest, special because, well, he's special and he's done a lot of awesome things. He's written a book, but I actually took him up on an opportunity over a year ago to do some coaching with him. He was giving very graciously out of his heart some free coaching, and I took him up on that on my drive to work. And I got to tell you, what he was able to do for me in one session, number one, I didn't predict it. And number two, I'm really, really grateful for me. And so that speaks to the person and the power that my guest has on. And I hope that he is going to be able to do some similar things for us. So he's going to talk to us about the mindset of a business owner versus the mindset of an employee. That's a topic that's near and dear to my heart. I talk about this quite a bit in the work that I do. I'm in both worlds. I'm an employer, meaning I have 21 direct supervisors or people that report to me directly. And I'm also a business owner. So I understand both worlds. And there's nothing that excites me more than to show an employee that, yes, you can. You can do this. You don't have to be locked in this dynamic for the rest of your life. So I have for you the one and only Bogdan Rosu. So welcome. I'm super grateful for you to be here. Introduce yourself to me and my audience.
Hi, Nick. It's absolutely lovely to see you again. And to be honest, like the best way to introduce myself is, you know, just like I was listening to this coach who's, you know, has a lot more experience than I do. And she was describing this idea that it's always difficult to describe what you do when you're a coach. Like, you know, I talk to people and people change their lives or they get different results. And they're like, well, what do you say? You know? And the best way to do that is to actually give them an example of what I do and a situation that happened. And what I actually like what was coming to me when you were introducing my work, and thank you so much. You know, of course, it wasn't just out of our coaching session, wasn't just out of the graciousness of my heart. You know, it's a great way to start conversations and attract clients for your coaching business. And I'm happy that that was transformational in and of itself for you. We kind of lost touch since, what was it, like 2 years since we did that, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, somewhere in there, at least a year and a half, if not 2 years, but yeah.
Something like that, yeah. And we haven't really dove deeper into that. I would be very, very curious to kind of see through your eyes on what happened for you during that conversation and what were your insights and what did those insights lead to?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to go there. So, you know, you think about it, you've got 45 minutes with somebody on two different ends of the globe. Other than knowing you via social media, I really didn't know you, but I knew that you were a coach. And at that time, kind of your angle, you know, was a lot different than what it is now, at least from what I'm seeing, you know, social media wise. And, you know, part of me said, you know what, I don't think this guy is going to offer me much, but part of me said, what do I have to lose? Right. And so I scheduled the call and got on the call with you and make a, you know, a 45 minute, you know, conversation shorter than that, obviously, for the sake of this podcast. At some point you said, you know, it sounds like you've got, you know, a hang up that's related to something in childhood. That will likely take two or three sessions. So if you're interested in that, let's schedule those out, because it's going to take a lot longer than what we have available to us right now. And, you know, by that time, 2 years ago, I mean, I've done a lot of self-work. And we were just discussing before the podcast started, the realization that, you know, I do have a PhD, you realizing that. So at that point in time, you know, I'm driving with a PhD and in a helping profession, right? So that forces you to do your own work in order to be effective for other people. So I've done a lot of work. But what you were able to point out for me, because so when you said that, hey, we're going to need to book a couple sessions in order to get there, I was like, no. I know what this is. Now that you've even just kind of briefly brought it up, I can pull myself right back there and know what it is. And what it was a specific message that I received over and over and over again as a young child that was still with me. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't with me every day, or it probably was, but it was small compared to what it was, because I had done the work to make it not nearly as big as an impactful in my life, but it was still there. And what I realized is that in my toughest moments, you know, when life is really happening or something gets really hard, that's when that would creep back up again. Right. It didn't.
And what was the message?
Well, the message was that I was a, you know, stupid half-breed Mexican that would never amount to anything. That was the message. And that message was still active in situations where things got particularly tough. And when I started not being sure that I could do whatever it is. And this, you know, comes out in a lot of different ways. But then I realized that it's in those toughest of tough moments that's where that message would come up. And that's what would start the process of me backing down and me settling and me not pushing forward with whatever the plan was.
Yeah, for sure. And if we are to speak the same language, my message in that sense is, nobody cares.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So like I grew up in this small city in Romania, and I never really felt like people actually cared about me. Like not even my parents, you know, like, because bless my parents, they were busy providing a life for themselves and me, right? They didn't really understand what a kid actually needs or how to actually speak my language. You know, they spoke their language in terms of if we're to speak love languages in a sense, but they didn't understand. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a love language, right? So they were showing me love in let's say Chinese, but I spoke Japanese, right? So not understanding the language, I didn't actually feel like they actually loved me, right? And I didn't feel that, not even from my, you know, my relatives, like family, uncles, aunts, grandparents. Mm-hmm. I it's like kids were saying, I can't wait for the summer to come to visit my grandparents. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. Why would you do that to yourself, right? Because I just felt alone. Like nobody actually cared about me, my dreams, nobody cared to get to know me. And that's the message that I get when I get frustrated. It's me putting out stuff and not getting the response that I expect. And that message creeps up of, you know, nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your work. Nobody cares about what you want to do. And that's the pain trigger, let's say, for me. But just like you said, you know, just because you're a coach doesn't mean you have your shit together. Nobody does, right? You're always gonna have these weird messages. But the beauty is when you get the guts to see it, just like you did after our conversation and during our conversation, and you get the guts to talk about it, and you notice that the demon that you initially thought is humongous, that it actually becomes, you know, the small toy that you put in your pocket, and you take out that demon whenever you need it and use it as a tool. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing your message with us. Your not so helpful message at times, but learning how to leverage it for something, for energy and for positivity.
Yeah, you know, like just talking with you right now, I can, you're like, I can immediately identify a few ways that I can personally, for myself, use that demon in a beneficial way. Like, nobody cares. No, I'm going to show you that you should care.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to show you that I care more.
Right.
And you're going to care.
Look at all the ways that the world has showed you that it does care.
Yes. I mean, this conversation, right? You like, out of the blue, you just invited me over to have this conversation. Yeah. That's proof. Yep. People care, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. But in those moments, we choose to focus in on the, you know, the one little example, and we ignore, you know, all of the other, hey, look at me, you know, I'm here.
Yeah. And what did that insight lead to after our conversation?
Well, awareness for sure. And it leads to a freedom, meaning and again, this is something that I teach and train all the time. I teach and train that we're not our thoughts, right? And that we have to learn to be detached from our thoughts, so that way we can choose where to devote our focus, right? But this was a thought that, you know, my message was an example of a thought that, although it wasn't, you know, active on a every minute or every hour type basis, but it was active enough that when it popped up, I was a slave to it, so to speak, right? So that awareness that it was still there and that it still had power over me was the first step in, you know, taking that power back and being free from it. So it didn't control me. You know, if I'm honest, it probably still has, again, it still has some control, but I'm in that process of, you know, continuing to boost my awareness and learn how to treat it just like a thought.
For sure. You know, it's just like it's just like oil, right? If you suddenly don't have any more oil, or let's just stick with oil, for example. I personally prefer electric cars, but let's just stick with the oil example, right? If you drink it, you're going to get sick and die, right?
Yeah.
But it's pretty useful to have it in your house so that you can move along with your car, right? So putting that oil, that darkness, that substance of death and darkness, if you use it with the right vehicle, it's going to take you places, right?
Right. Absolutely.
I don't think it's about getting rid of the oil. It's just about using it with the right tool and at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Love it. So you are focused now more so than probably ever about helping people learn about and adopt the mindset of a business owner. Tell me about that. Mm-hmm.
I can share a story with you if you like.
I love stories.
Cool. So it was happening back when I was 23. I had just finished college, my first college in Crete. I studied in Crete, Greece. I studied hotel management. Absolutely hated it. Came back to... I hadn't finished college. I hadn't just finished college. I went to Rome. I lived in Rome for 2 years. And then I said, screw this. I'm going to go back to my home country. And I was still figuring out the next step. I was still figuring out my life. And I was eating lunch in the kitchen one day. I had moved back with my parents for a couple of weeks. And my dad walks in exhausted. It was like the middle of the day and he was just exhausted. And he's like, I can't do this anymore. I'm probably going to sell the company in a couple of years. He wasn't even thinking of selling the company. Like think of his mindset back then. He was just thinking of selling his equipment, not the business, right? As a whole, just selling the equipment and selling the space where he has his business. And he's like, I'm going to sell the company and I'm going to get a job. Now, knowing my dad, I knew that if he would have gotten a job in 2 years, he would have died. You know, my dad is 66 this year, and it wouldn't have been a really good idea. So I sat my dad down. I looked him in the eye and I told him, look, do you know why you're so exhausted? He's like, yeah, because I'm running around paying the bills. I have to fix this equipment. I have to do this. I have to do that. He said, yeah, exactly. Are you telling me that you couldn't send one of your employees to pay your bills today? Are you telling me that you couldn't send one of your employees to fetch an electrician to fix your equipment today? Your problem is not the business not being where you want it to be. Your problem is that you're still thinking like an employee. You're thinking and acting like an employee in your own business, and it's burning you out. You're killing yourself. Your job as an entrepreneur is to step back, look at the business as a whole, as you would look at a control panel, and adjust the knobs according to what you want and say, okay, this works well, great. Now let me just improve this. Let me fix this. Let me take out this person. Let me put somebody else in this position. That's your job as a business owner, right? And my dad paused, looked at me, and he said, you have no idea what you're talking about. You're 23. You never ran a business in your life. Why are you telling me this stuff, right? And I told him, yeah, you're right. I haven't built any business yet. I am young, but I'm not telling you this stuff from my own experience. I'm telling you what other people are doing who are running multiple businesses successfully. He looked at me again. He said nothing. He just got up and he went back to work. This conversation clicked with my dad, I think, in about a year. He hired somebody. He started delegating some of his tasks. He started training the person. And now he's like making more money than ever before. He's got more freedom than ever before. That person isn't working for him anymore right now because he had to fire him. The person was kind of stealing money. But that was another conversation that I had with my dad. And I said, yeah, of course he's stealing money. Your systems are designed right now to tempt people to steal money from you. You need to improve your systems, right? And you can't just hire people and expect, you know, the best outcome. You need to be prepared for this stuff. But he still right now enjoys, he got a taste of that freedom and he never let it go. Now he still enjoys that same freedom. He could be away from the business for a week and the business will probably make more money than it was making before he left. And before he didn't go on vacation for years.
Yeah.
For years. And to me, that's, you know, that's my proudest case study, let's say. You know, I feel so happy to be able to have been able to give back to my dad in that way and help him have the kind of business that he actually wants, that he feels comfortable with.
Awesome. Love that story. It brings to mind, you know, the Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and learning about the cash flow quadrant, and where a lot of people who own their own job think that they have a business when really they don't. They're actually their own employee.
Yes. And a huge component of the mindset of a business owner is this idea that it's, look, a lot of people like to say, oh, my business is my baby. It's not your freaking baby. Can it make grandchildren for you? Can it, it's just not your baby. It's not your kid. Your kid is your kid. Mm-hmm. Your business is not your kid. Your business is a vehicle, a machine that should be producing money and freedom for yourself and your family. That's it. That should be the correct definition for your business.
Right.
Your business is not going to grow up and say, you never spend enough time with me.
Right. But your kids will.
Yes. Right. You're never going to feel guilty about, traumatizing your business or, just being a bad parent for your business. But, you know, you're probably going to feel that way with your family, right? So this is really important to me because, like I said, my parents were working all the time. I didn't get to have a relationship with my dad until I was like 15 or 16. I was training martial arts since I was 13, and my dad started training as well. And all of a sudden, we had something to talk about, something in common. And I didn't really, really get to know my dad until I was in my 20s, right? Because he started having a lot more free time. And the mental space to actually have a conversation with his kid and actually listen, you know, get to know his kid for who he is or who he was. And I know that if you're a business owner, if you have a family and you haven't adapted the mindset of a business owner, you're still thinking like an employee in your own business, then your kid is probably growing up with the same ideas that I grew up with. And it's not comfortable. You know, there's a lot of, just like you said, there's a lot of healing to be done from that experience.
Yeah. And folks, this is something that you don't want to miss, meaning, you know, when people are out there like Bogdan, and he's been out there as a coach for many years now, he's written a book, he's got a YouTube channel, he's active on social media. This isn't a gimmick for him, meaning this came from a place of, This was my experience growing up. I'm supposedly in this dynamic where my father and my parents are business owners, but it really doesn't look and feel like it to me. And you being able to help him then shows you it can be done. And now how can I help as many people as I can, you know, not have this same thing happen to their own kids? I mean, that's a mission. That's a passion. That's not a gimmick. And so, you know, much love and respect for you and your mission for why you do and what you do in your coaching.
Thank you. Ideally, my mission is to be able to work with entrepreneurs who are transforming the world, who are, you know, solving the world's biggest problems in terms of energy, in terms of transportation, in terms of how empathic we are with each other, and empathetic, I think is the correct word, in terms of, you know, better understanding and better communicating with each other, like in a real way. I realized that I'm not, you know, engineering is not my strong point. And I'm never going to be able to engineer solutions in terms of solving the world's biggest problems. That's not my gift. My gift is really, really, really understanding people at a deep level, at a core level, and helping them understand themselves and helping them see, just like we had our conversation, what's the darkness? Like, what's the BS stuff that's holding you back, and how can you actually flip that? So it's either you always have two options. You can either fight it, resist it, diminish it, which in the long term is not going to be sustainable, because everything you fight becomes stronger, right? Just like you have like this, imagine you had like, just to give the martial arts example, because I taught martial arts for 6 years combined with personal development and mindset. Let's say you have this opponent. You're like super sadistic. You're like this idiot who's just like likes to beat up weak people, right? Yeah. And you have this person, you beat this person up every single time, every single day. Well, that person is learning. They're learning, they're becoming stronger and stronger and stronger until they beat you up and they start bullying you. It's the same with your emotions, right? With your negative emotions, with your limiting beliefs. But the smart way is to make friends with that weak individual and learn from that weakness and allow that weak individual to teach you, and you grow together. You create a relationship with quote unquote the darkness. That's a faster way of living life, and it's actually giving you it's giving you a lot more happiness, because you're not just dissecting yourself into two separate entities, my darkness and my light. You're accepting yourself fully.
Absolutely. And there's a concept that came to my mind. It's very prominent in the coaching world and the self-help sphere. You get to it sometimes in different spiritual traditions. Not always, though. And it's the concept of realizing that life is happening for you and not to you.
Yeah.
And in those circumstances, when things are tough, the trap is to adopt the label and the mentality of being a victim, right? And you start blaming other people. Yep. Or you can step back and accept what your current reality is, what your current circumstance is, and start asking yourself these questions, like, you know, how can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can I take this situation and A, never let it happen to me again, but B, also show other people how to not let it happen to them? Does that resonate with you at all?
Absolutely. And it's so synchronistic. It's funny that you bring this up. One of my clients recommended this audiobook that he was listening to called The Surrender Experiment. By Michael Singer. And I started listening to it as well. And it's basically the journey of a guy who stopped resisting life, who made the curious decision, made the decision out of curiosity. Like, what? Let's see what happens if I just say yes to life and I stop fighting it. And his journey is exceptional. And I realized that I personally hadn't paid enough attention to that. I realized that most of my life I had been fighting life, and I'm still doing it to a certain extent. So I decided to take a class in that sense. It's called the Silva Ultramind System, so that I'm better equipped to navigate my own subconscious, my own beliefs, right? It's so easy to, like, as human beings, it's so easy to help somebody else, but you have to spend time also learning from others on how you can help yourself, allow yourself to be helped. So I'm so happy that I took this course, because it opened my mind, and I'm still at the beginning of this course, but I find it to be exceptional. So yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, it's definitely worth experimenting with the idea of what if life is happening for us, and actually absolutely everything that's happening, be it positive or negative, the way that we like to label it, it's actually preparing us for what we truly want.
Sure.
And who we need to be. Yeah.
So that gets hard sometimes, though. And you know, I'm not going to pretend what life in Romania looks like or what your experience that is, but I have an idea that's a little bit different than the life I probably was exposed to on an everyday basis, you know, being born and raised in the United States. And, you know, I'm not sure, you know, how old you are, but
32.
32. Yeah, I'm 43. And but there's people around the planet that when you say, hey, why don't you just consider that life is happening for you and not to you? It sounds mm-hmm. like we're crazy, you know, given that they're seeing, you know, oppression in a real way. They're seeing starvation. They're seeing, families being, raped and pillaged. You know, I think about, the conflict in Bosnia that was going on when we were, I was a teenager and you were, just a little bit younger than me. Like, but that gets hard sometimes when people really have life experiences that were truly tragic and terrible. So, what's your thought on that as a coach, that concept with somebody who's really kind of had some terrible things happen to their lives and we're trying to subtly or maybe not so subtly say, consider that life is happening for you and not to you.
For some reason, what's coming up for me right now is Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. Mm-hmm. I started listening to it on Audible, but I had to stop because, I'm very empathetic and empathic in this situation. What's the word?
Both actually work fine, but empathic probably is. Yeah.
And it was just too painful for me to continue listening to it. Mm-hmm. It's mind boggling what we can, what we would do and what we do to each other with the best intentions. Like Hitler probably had the best intentions for his people. Like if you would have asked him, he probably, yeah, I did that, but I had the best intentions in mind for blah, blah, blah. We always do it with the best intentions. Mm-hmm. But it comes down to like what our perspective is, right? In terms of, do we just care about our country? Are we seeing just what's happening around us? Are we just seeing just what's happening in the now? Or are we seeing what happened in the past and what will happen in the future, right? So in terms of having trauma, I grew up with, like I told you, I grew up thinking that nobody loves me and nobody will. In fifth grade, I was voted as being the most disliked person in class. So that kind of reinforced, right? And like from first grade to fourth grade, I was hated by my, not hated, but, disliked by my peers because I wanted to be, the teacher's pet, and I wanted to have like the high grades and be the smart ass and so on. So people like me. So I kind of was reinforcing that belief of nobody likes me and nobody will through those behaviors. But that same pain made me really question, like, how do people work? What makes people do what they do? Initially, it was to understand what makes people like other people so that maybe I can understand how to force people to like me. Like, I'm going to understand what are the triggers that I have to, what are the buttons that I have to push so people won't have a choice and like me, right? That's how, that was my mindset back then. So that pain caused a journey of exploration that ultimately led to understanding that it's not about other people liking me. It's about me liking me first.
Yep.
Me accepting me first. And with that came a very, very, very profound map of why people do what they do. Mm-hmm. And there's always gold in trauma. There's always something of value. There's something there's something that you can be grateful for. And whenever you're looking back in the past, you're going to see that every quote unquote negative thing that happened led to you gaining either a deeper understanding or being more aware of the potential pitfalls that you should avoid. So life is always serving.
Absolutely. There's a gentleman that, has a book out there. His name's David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. Yeah. you know, one of his you know, many quotes that came out of that is, you know, greatness is on the other side of suffering.
Yes. Yes. But also Eckhart Tolle said, suffering is necessary until it isn't.
Yes. Right. Yeah. And I think what those two people are trying to say is that, we don't need to go out and create suffering. We don't need to seek suffering. The world will bring it to you. It's just a matter of time. And suffering is also a choice to a certain degree, you know, prolonged suffering, you know, the kind of suffering that endures is ultimately a choice.
Yeah. And I would absolutely invite people to check out Michael Singer's book. It's exceptional to see how, you know, because he went through a lot of challenges as well, but he chose something different. He chose, like, instead of listening to that voice inside of your head that says, you know, this is going to be, you know, this is over, you're going to be done, this was a huge mistake, why is life treating me this way? He decided to take the mental step back and just be an observer. And he said, look, let life do its thing, let it run its course. And it always proved that negative thing that he was experiencing was actually opening the door for something absolutely exceptional that he had no idea would happen, would come. And it's literally like this. I was talking about this with one of my clients. It's like, you start from point A, you want to go to point B, thinking like, oh my God, I want this point B. This is great. This is amazing. I want this, so on and so forth, right? And you start moving forward. So you're attached mentally to point B. But life is like, hey, I have this C thing right here that is so much better than B,
yeah,
that you're like, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to be unbelievable, right? But we're like, we start towards point B. Something happens that messes the journey up to get to point B, and that one thing happens so that you don't get the B, because the B is less than the C. But because we're attached to B, we're like, oh, this doesn't work, let me go back to A. And then we start from zero, and C is still there, and nobody claims it.
Right.
Instead, what I've learned from people who are much wiser than myself is, go towards B, don't be attached, forget about getting the B. And when you're close to B and it doesn't happen and you get derailed, be fine with it, be positive, be grateful, have the conviction that life is serving you, and then keep moving forward. It's not necessarily forward, because you were derailed, right? Your trajectory is different, and you're going to notice yourself because you're moving forward. You're going to get to see. Mm-hmm. Like, are you married?
I am.
How many girlfriends did you have before that didn't go well? How many relationships did you have that didn't lead anywhere before you met your partner, right?
Yeah, at least one.
At least one, right? Yeah. What would have happened if you said, oh my God, this relationship stuff doesn't work, let me just go back to being single forever?
Yep. Absolutely. And so Michael Singer, he also wrote The Untethered Soul, and that's a book that I recommend all the time. It was very confirming to me about some of these other, it just kind of put it all in one book, you know, and these ideas and these concepts. So when I was early on in my phase to pivot out of being, you know, a mental health counselor and really starting to adopt the mindset of a coach and the dynamic of a coach, that was one of the books that was given to me. And it's an incredible story. And what was the book that you read by him?
The Surrender Experiment.
The Surrender Experiment. Yeah. And so, and for those that, I mean, I've mentioned him several times on this show. So folks that have listened to multiple episodes will say, okay, here goes Nick talking about Michael Singer again. But you know, For folks that don't know, he at one point in time, he was the CEO of Oracle when Oracle was kind of at its peak in terms of software development and whatnot. And it was in that phase when there was a congressional investigation around Oracle and all the government contracts that it had around embezzlement. And of course, he was functionally, you know, at the head of all of that. And so therefore, he was responsible for all of that. And that's where he just had to, and he was on Oprah talking about this, right? About how, you know, he just stayed calm through the whole thing. That,
yes.
You know, he knew the world would take care of him, you know?
And, yes.
But I won't say you, but to me, I would have been, you know, freaked out of my mind. You know, how, you know, they're saying I'm responsible for the embezzlement of billions of dollars. And, you know, I can't write a check for that, you know, but incredible story. I encourage lots of folks to tap into that. So
he was also teaching meditation to people who were in prison.
Yes.
And I think, like, also when you do that and you see people, despite being locked up, accessing the freedom of their souls and the freedom of their mind, you don't get as scared as, you know, you normally would. Right? You have that conviction of nothing, like, no wall can trap my mind and my soul. You know what, Nick? I actually have a question for you if we still have time.
Absolutely.
You mentioned you were transitioning into the mindset of a coach from the mindset of a counselor. Like, what do you feel is the difference between the two?
Well, you know, logistically and functionally, they operate very differently. Mm. And, you know, the mental picture I try to, and I've done an episode on this, coaching versus counseling. And so I have people imagine, you know, imagine a piece of paper in your mind and draw a line down the middle of it.
Right.
That line down the middle of it equals, quote unquote, normal, equals what's acceptable to you in your life. And we all kind of, you know, have a little sine wave. We ebb and flow. Some days are better than others. But when things start really dropping below what we consider normal or acceptable, that's when we start applying labels to that, like, oh, you're depressed. Mm. Oh, you know, you have anxiety. Oh, bipolar. Oh, these things. Right. And we put these labels to it. And then we say, you need to go get help. And for most people going to, at least in the US, most people getting help means going to a doctor and getting a prescription, because we've reified these labels when they're actually BS, right? They're actually belief systems. Yep.
Nice. And, love that.
Yeah. I learned that from Jeremy Rodruck, but you used belief systems earlier too, but he calls it, it's all BS. No, I mean, belief systems. Right.
Yeah.
And so you come to somebody like me, you know, in my traditional way of working, and my job as a mental health counselor is to help you learn strategies and techniques so that way your symptoms are reduced enough so that you get back to what you would call normal, or what you would call baseline, or what you would call acceptable. So you can still be unhappy with your work. You could still be unhappy with your partner or your spouse. But as long as you're still doing it, then, you know, the mental health system says success.
Right.
And actually, you know, ethically, once somebody has reduce their symptoms enough, ethically, you can't continue to provide services to them because there's not a quote unquote problem anymore. And so versus a coach, you know, for me is taking that middle line, and it's helping people who are dissatisfied. And they know that there's more for them. They know that, I mean, they look at the next 5, 10, 15 years, and they just know that they can't keep doing what they're currently doing. And then a coach shows them how to take that current baseline and how to ratchet it up. Like,
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Yeah.
You're A to B to C, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, most people are at A, and then we settle for B because they, number one, they aren't aware that C is out there, or that D is out there, or that E is out there, or that only special people, lucky people, fortunate people are able to achieve anything other than B, when the reality is thousands, if not millions, of people at A figure out, you know, D through Z because they believed it, right? Or they refused to quit. So me working as a coach is much more fulfilling. I don't feel like I'm colluding with a system that really has kind of an insidious need to keep people at A, so to speak. So that's my response.
Love it. Would you like me to share like the 7 principles of the mindset of a business owner, and so people can rate themselves and see like what their strong points are and what their weaknesses are?
I would love that. Thank you.
Cool. So, guys, after you do the exercise, here's like the basic rule of thumb. If you're just starting out, you will personally want to work on your weakness and improve it because you literally don't have a choice. But if you already have a team, or you started, you know, building a team, like 1 or 2 or 3 people or so on and so forth, if you have the option to hire, in that case, don't work on your weakness, double down on your strong point, and hire somebody who has your weakness as a strong point. And that you're going to see so much more progress in that situation. Okay. So, I can share these 7 principles, have them, you can listen to them and, have them written down, and then rate yourselves from 1 to 10 on, you know, actually, Nick, do you want to do this exercise as well?
Sure.
Awesome. So 1 is, I know my clients better than they know themselves. Right. So basically knowing their hopes, their dreams, and their fears better than they know themselves. 2, I know my team members better than they know themselves. The same. I know their hopes, their dreams, and their fears. 3, I listen with presence, and I listen for what people mean, not what they say, because there's usually a difference. 4, I know my numbers at any given moment. This is a big, big one for a lot of business owners, right? People run away from their numbers. 5, I'm focused on the big vision, and I set time aside every day to look at the business, what is getting us closer to the vision and what is pushing us further away. I let go of the unnecessary, and I improve my systems and my team, right? So it's literally about stepping back, what I was sharing with my dad, stepping back and looking at your business as a whole and kind of adjusting like you would for a control panel. 6, I do something uncomfortable every single day. 7, I'm not afraid to ask for help, and I delegate my weaknesses. This one's a big one as well for a lot of business owners, you know, like being afraid to acknowledge your weaknesses and then saying help. 7 are your strong points?
From these 7?
Yes.
Well, there's some of them that really come natural for me because of my training, you know, as a counselor, right?
Right.
And so, you know, I know my clients better than they do. And that's, you know, you get that confirmation when you kind of take a risk and you say, it probably sounds like this, or it probably looks like this. And they say, yeah, how did you know that?
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Looks like magic, right? It looks like you sound like a fortune teller to them in that moment.
And then you take it one step further, and then you might say something like, yeah, and probably what you are afraid to tell me and anybody else is this thing, you know? And then you step back for the flood waves to come, you know, the flood waters to come. I know my team and, you know, I have a couple of teams at my day job. And, you know, I have them do different assessments So that way I know them. And then I tailor how I reinforce them. I tailor how I speak to them. I tailor how I message them based on their profiles, based on those assessments. I know what they like. I know what they what they don't like. And even if things that they don't like are good for them, then again, I go into that knowing that ahead of time. The presence, listening with presence and listening for meaning versus what they say. I mean, that's what a counselor does, right? It's trying to find what the underlying meaning is for whatever, for the story that they're telling, or the, you know, the words that they're choosing or the words that they're not using.
A lot of intuition there, right? So what are your weaknesses?
Yeah, I struggle probably with my numbers and being to the dollars and cents, the minutes, minutes and hours. Like I live, I get by with the on average or roundabout. So I mean, I can tell you within the ballpark. It's not like I don't have any idea, but in terms of, you know, down to the cent or down to the minute, that's where I will, I need to learn to grow in that.
Love it. And I appreciate your openness right now.
Yeah. And then seven would be probably another hard one. I'm much better at it than I was in terms of asking for help and then delegating my weakness, because I don't want to be weak in anything. Right. And I grew up with a mindset of, I don't need anybody's help. And so, so I'm much better with that one, but that's one I constantly have to be on guard with myself. Otherwise it's easy for me to adopt the lone wolf syndrome again and suffer because of it by my own choosing.
That's a very interesting concept, isn't it? I don't need anybody, right? Yet we buy coffee at the store, right? There's some coffee in here. Yeah. We rely on somebody to make a phone and a cup, right? Yeah, we depend on people growing food, and we go to grocery stores, and then we still have that affirmation of, no, I don't need anybody.
Yeah.
Right? There's no such thing.
Right. Yeah, there's, you know, our President Barack Obama, in one of his speeches, was, I think it was, you know, a speech prior to him becoming president, but he, you know, boldly said, you know, across this, you know, this, the podium, hey, you didn't build that. Meaning it takes roads. So if you're a business owner, it takes roads for you to get, you know, your products from point A to point B. It takes bridges. It takes all these things that you didn't build. Right. And back then, which would have been probably 2007, I thought that was the most ridiculous thing that a person could ever say, right? Because I don't need anybody's help. But 12 years down the road, I fully understand that concept, is that we are, I was going to say very, but I probably better put entirely interdependent on other people. For our resources and for our material goods, right? We're definitely, and
even for our mental wellness.
Yes,
we depend on other people.
Right.
Not having a conversation.
Yeah, not everybody can be a hermit.
Even the hermit depends on nature.
Yeah.
You know, depends on plants growing, and if they hunt, depends on an animal showing up at the right time so they don't starve. Right?
Absolutely.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing, right? In the beginning, you allow yourself to be helped by taking courses, by being mentored, by learning from other people who have more experience than you. And then once you have the luxury of hiring people, you depend on people who are much, much smarter than you are, and you allow them to lead when it comes to their expertise. It's like if you are the CEO and you're the one leading all the time, you're holding the company back. You are limiting the company in ways that you can't even imagine. If you hired somebody who is who excels at hiring exceptional people, and you're the one kind of, in a sense, micromanaging, and you're still the one leading in that situation, you lose. You need to allow yourself to be led by the people that you've hired. If you hired somebody who's an expert in marketing, allow you to shut up, listen, and allow yourself to be led by that person. Yeah. That's leadership. That's strength. Right? Yeah. And, you know, I have a client who has two flotation spas. And his biggest, one of his biggest weaknesses was knowing his numbers. So he hired an expert, actually made a video in my stories yesterday about it. He hired an expert to create a system that he would immediately have all of his numbers for both locations at the press of a button, right? That's powerful because numbers help you make better decisions.
Right.
Right? So he hired his weakness.
Absolutely. I've done that for this podcast. It got to a point to where I knew that I wouldn't be able to put in the time to produce them.
Yeah.
Given how much time it would take me. And so I delegated that. I hired a service for that. So
love it. Love it.
Well, otherwise it would have crashed and burned.
That's a huge leap forward in your mindset, right? For like compared to what you were describing a few years ago. So
right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, it would have, and I get it. I mean, there's a stat that, you know, very few podcasts make it past 10 episodes, and I get it now, right? Because
it's too much work.
Yeah. And you have to accept, and I think this is what's tough for some people, especially the people that, you know, expect or demand perfection, that there's some things, you know, that I would do differently if I was producing it myself. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I couldn't maintain that standard and keep it out there and keep it rolling. Right. And so mm-hmm. I had to delegate it and accept within limits, you know, what's acceptable for production level and be okay with that. Cause otherwise it wouldn't have continued to grow. And I'm approaching 50 episodes now and almost, you know, 5,000 downloads, which again, in the podcast world, that's not ton, but for me that's a lot. So
it is, if you have the right people listening to you, and I have a sense that you do. Yeah. So you know, it's right. Not something to yeah. kind right. of you know yeah. to ignore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like getting more detailed in terms of numbers, like for example, let's say you run a podcast and just like you have somebody who you've employed to take care of production. It's like, okay, how much am I paying this person? Great. How much does the podcast need to kind of generate financially for me to, you know, to kind of, in a sense, not necessarily make a profit, but at least cover my costs? And what, okay, if it's not, I cannot do that right now, what is the potential of it doing that in time?
Right.
Right. In terms of growth. And, you know, when you have that level of clarity, you will make better decisions with, when it comes to your resources.
Absolutely. Bogdan, there are several folks, because I know through their feedback, either directly to me, through my phone, social media, that are business owners that tune into the Upgraded Life podcast. And there's people who want to be business owners, people who want to be entrepreneurs. So you just gave us the seven principles, and it's the seven principles for the mindset of a business owner, correct? Yes. So I want you to speak to that person who's wants to start, maybe hasn't started, or maybe is in the very early stages of being a business owner. What would you have them be mindful of, and what would be the next steps for them given their early stages of transforming into the business owner mindset?
I would say it's too early for them to adapt the business owner mindset. If you're just starting out, you need the mindset of an employee, specifically the mindset of a salesman. You will not have a business unless you have sales. But don't look at it as that weird pushy type of let me push my product and service as much as I can, because you're going to lose. You need to find yourself in that space. Like a mistake that I made when I started out, I was trying to copy the people that I was learning from, and they were like high energy, like, bam, bam, let's do it. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Come on, let's do this and stuff like that. Right. But what I didn't realize was that that's who they are. They were being themselves. So by me not being myself, I'm not like that. You know, I'm more like laid back, more centered, more calm, you know, and I love to go deep. And once I had enough of doing that, and I said I would rather die poor and alone than spend one more day in somebody else's shoes, right, that's when things changed. It's going to be a hard journey. The hardest thing that you will have to do when you're starting a business, it's not going to be lead gen. It's not going to be getting clients. It's not going to be hiring people. The hardest thing that you will do is believing in yourself as a business owner, believing in your products, believing in your services, and showing up every single day. Okay, you're not going to show up every single day with that level of belief, but at least the average to be above, you know, above zero. Right. So when you really start to believe in yourself, and to actually accept yourself as an entrepreneur, that's when you're gonna see a shift in your business.
And how does somebody know, again, going back to your A to B to C, what does that look like for somebody to believe in themselves as a business owner?
You're going to see it in your numbers.
Yes.
Yeah. So track your sales, you know. Track your track the money that you're making, track your expenses. You know, that's going to be useful. It's going to be uncomfortable. A lot of people are just going to ignore that because it's difficult.
Sure.
It's very painful to look at your bank account and see butterflies, and you're going to feel, you know, that you're worthless. You're going to feel like you're never going to be good enough.
Yeah.
But once you start doing it, you know, take classes that help you. If you cannot afford one-on-one coaching, get some classes. There's some pretty good classes from Mindvalley that you can check out. They're very affordable, very effective. They had a big impact on my business. And you can absolutely do that, or find ways that you can invest in yourself. Don't necessarily go for these big group coaching programs. I did that as well. I paid like $3,000 from one coaching program. Then I enrolled in another one that was $30,000. Fortunately, I went for the installments, and it was only like 1 week, 1 month of me being in there. And after that, they were like, you know what, your business is not ready. It's not where it needs to be, so they can fully take advantage of the program. We're going to pause our support for you. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me that before you signed me up? Right. So like before you sign me up, you were like, yeah, this is great. You're going to make $30,000 in your first month. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend going for the cookie cutter group coaching program. If you do, even if you have the full amount, pay per installments, and you know, be very mindful of the kind of advice that you're taking. Of course, those programs helped, but they didn't necessarily fulfill the promise. Like the first one was like, build your coaching business, make $10,000 in your first couple of months. It took more than a couple of months.
Right.
All right. Yep. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. When you were saying that, you know, there's a metaphor, it's actually a true story, again, from the U.S., the gentleman that created the first kind of automated gold mining machine, and there's a book called 3 Feet from Gold. And so he built this whole contraption and started digging for gold, and got to the point to where he didn't find any gold, and he couldn't continue to support his operation. You know, called himself a failure, took this contraption to auction, and they said, I'm going to try to sell it and maybe somebody will buy it purely for what the scrap metal is going to be worth. And yeah. There was an other miner that was watching him and really thought that maybe he was onto something, went to the auction, bought it, took it back to the exact same spot and kept digging three more feet and hit one of the biggest gold vein, the veins of gold ever found. And sometimes you just,
yeah.
To make yeah, you put in the work, you got, I mean, that my takeaway is that you got to put in the work and you've got to believe in it. And, had that original miner, if you would have told him, hey, I think if you go three more feet, you're going to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. It's going to take longer than you expect.
Right.
To get to where you need to, but don't just dig one hole. Like keep yep. learning, keep trying yep. different holes and different depths.
Yep. It's like Tony Robbins says that we overestimate what we can do in 1 year and underestimate what we can do in 10 years.
10 years. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Because it's a compounding effect, right?
Yes.
Yep. You're going to hit that critical point and then it's just going to explode, but you have to keep going.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where can people find you? I mentioned that you wrote a book, but I didn't say the title of the book. So tell us what your title of your book is.
Well, and find you. It's still Romanian. It's still in Romanian, my book. I've translated it in English, but I haven't published it yet. Just like you said, my life has gone through different iterations. So I don't know exactly what shape that book will take in once it's done in English. I might finish it and translate it in English and publish it that way, or I might just write something totally different. The best place for people to connect with me would be either on Facebook or Instagram. That's where I generally post, and that's where I'm generally hanging out. Oh, and by the way, this Friday, I'm doing a free training on the 7 principles of the mindset of a business owner. It's going to be 9 a.m. CST. If I'm not mistaken, I'm probably going to give you the link if people want to check it out.
Absolutely.
And what we're going to be doing is it's going to be live, and we're going to be doing the same evaluation. So guys, if you've done that, the next step would be to jump on a conversation, and we're going to identify specifically for you how you can overcome that weakness and improve your current weakness. And if you have a team, I'm gonna share some cool tips on how you can attract the right person that has that weakness as a strong point, and that can totally change things for your business. So if that sounds exciting, looking forward to seeing you guys. It's gonna be over Zoom. People can sign up with their emails and they're going to get the Zoom link like 15 minutes before the call.
Awesome. Again, very generous of you for doing that.
Again, it's my business. You know, it's a great combination between giving value and surely if we didn't have that conversation a few years ago, we wouldn't have this conversation today. So that's kind of, that's absolutely fun. But yeah, you know, like combining the two of building a business and actually helping people, you know, and making a difference in people's life. Like absolutely, because we lost touch, I had no idea what that conversation led to in your life. So I'm happy that it brought value to you.
Absolutely. You never know, right? You never know.
You never know. Yeah. You never absolutely. Know.
Well, I'm grateful for you. Thank you for coming on the show. I've learned a lot. I know that my audience stands to learn a lot from you as well. And again, thank you for being a great human being.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but I appreciate this conversation. And thank you for like clearing, you know, giving me a better idea of what's like the difference between counseling and coaching. I had people say, yeah, but I have a therapist, so I don't think I'm good with being in therapy. So I would always wonder, right, like, what's really the difference? Like, what do they perceive that they're getting, and what's actually, I know what I do with my coaching, but I don't necessarily know specifically what's happening in therapy. So for me, that was valuable. Thank good. You.
Yep. I did a whole episode on it too that you can check out. So
dude, send me the link.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, my friend.
Awesome.
Until next time. I just loved Bogdan and his 7 principles of a business owner. I hope you got something out of that too. I more than hope I know you got something out of that, because those seven principles were just on target, absolute gold. Bogdan is super active on Facebook. He's always doing live events. He's always putting out content there. And I think he has a free training today as I'm recording this wrap up that, again, if you're lucky enough to know him and come across him in social media, you're definitely going to benefit from him just on the content that he puts out. If something that he said strikes you as a person that you want to know more, and if you are interested in getting coached by him, I'll put all the ways, all the links that you can connect with him in my show notes. In order to get those show notes, as always, you got to head over to my website. My website is www.nicksotelo.com/TUL podcast, the Upgraded Life Podcast. While you're over at my website, don't forget to check out the three opportunity buttons at the very top. They are scheduling a time with me. I'll give you a free 30-minute strategy session. Checking out CBD products from Nature's Ultra. And then also, if you're looking to create an additional stream of income, I can help you out with that too. This takes 20 minutes of your time. Click on the button that says Income Boost. Give me your name and email, and I'll send you a presentation. Thank you again so much for listening to my show, the Upgraded Life Podcast. I'm dedicated to this show because I've seen too many people live a life that just really wasn't about realizing and reaching their potential. So if you listen to this show and you were somehow, some way inspired to take action, let me know by going over to Apple Podcasts, leave me a 5-star review, and that will tell me that you enjoyed the show. This is Dr. Nick Sotelo, and I'm urging you to do something today to realize and reach your potential. And I'll catch you on the next show.